being that no one knows each other, team spirit breaks down, and no one feels responsible for their actions. Working with your team. Delegation is essential to good teamwork, and this might therefore be the most important section of this book. I certainly believe that my ability to delegate has been one of the most important factors in my success, and if you can learn to delegate too, then it will free you up to run your company more dynamically. Effective delegation involves setting targets, empowering staff to meet their targets, and setting a deadline for a review of those targets. That's the easy bit. The difficult bit is trusting them to do their work. If I'd a pound for every time I've had a flustered entrepreneur complain to me that in the time it takes them to explain the job to someone, they could have done it better themselves, then I'd be a lot richer than I am. It's true. Training and supporting new staff can be time-consuming, but if you don't do it, you can never move forward. However, I've observed that what can be a far bigger waste of time is constant interference by the boss. All those "how are you getting on" chats or those "you might find it easier if" pep talks are not only distracting, they can undermine the new employee. So here are my tips on how to get the most out of your team. Make it clear what each person is responsible for. Make it clear how important their job is to the rest of the company. Give each team member realistic targets, selling so many products, coming up with a marketing campaign, finding a more reliable supplier. Give them a deadline for achieving this target. Give them the means they need to do this, the time, the raw materials, etc. Let them know they can come to you if they have difficulties. Then, just let them get on with their job without interference. Selling up. How do you turn all that hard work into a fortune? In most industries, there's a standard way of valuing a company, and that is almost always a multiple of your profits. For example, Bannatyne Health Clubs paid 9x profit when we acquired a chain of 24 clubs in 2006. For leasehold clubs, the multiple was 6x profit. So, if I wanted to buy a freehold club that makes £1 million a year, the owner could expect me to pay £9 million for it. You can get a good idea of the multiple in your industry by looking at the publicly listed companies in the Financial Times. However, the published figure is only a guide, and if the markets are keen on your sector, then your multiple will go up. If your sector is in decline, then it will fall. So, how do you sell a company? One of the most effective ways is simply telling a few well-placed contacts that you think it's time to move on to the next challenge and that you would be open to offers. The chances are that you'll be bought by another company already in your sector who will want to leverage your customer base and create economies of scale by merging the two companies. Alternatively, you can advertise the business for sale in local and trade magazines, or you can employ an agent. A word of warning before you sell. I've bumped into several friends who've sold businesses for millions, and, at the time of the sale, look forward to lazy days on the golf course or with the kids. A few months on, and it's surprising how many will tell you that they regret selling. Life's a bit boring now. I really miss it. That's why I know I will never sell my last business. Until the day I die, there will be an office I can pop into, staff I can chat to, and deals I can negotiate. If you enjoy business, I don't think a lazy retirement will be enough. Franchising. Some of the biggest names on the high street are franchise operations. Businesses as diverse as McDonald's, The Body Shop, and Colquick all grew through franchising, and if you have a replicable business, you could do the same. In a nutshell, franchising works like this. You teach someone to do exactly what you have done and give them all the tools and support they need to do it. In exchange, they pay you an initial fee and then an annual payment thereafter, typically a percentage of their profit. Depending on your business, the initial fee may be just a few £100s for a house cleaning business, up to around £500,000 for a prime McDonald's location. The benefit to the franchisor, you, is that you can grow your business very quickly without needing to raise cash, as the franchisees meet their own startup costs, because each franchise is a separate company. Instead of you opening several outlets in succession, a team of franchisees can open them simultaneously. The contracts between franchisers and franchisees are extraordinarily detailed and set out how a relationship will work over decades and what your responsibilities are to each other. It is not a job for amateurs, and you will probably find the whole thing easier if you use a franchise consultant. You can find a reputable one through the British Franchise Association, www.thebfa.org. It's an area that attracts sharks, who only want to flog franchises to unsuspecting people who think they can make money rather than earn money, so really check out the credentials of the firms you deal with. If everything goes well, you should be able to sell your existing business to a franchisee and step back to oversee the franchise network while employing an MD to do the hard work for you. Getting yourself a Nigel. As I said at the beginning, most weeks I spend about 5 hours a week in the office. Of course, my companies don't run themselves. My brilliant managing director, Nigel Armstrong, does. Nigel's been with me for over 10 years. He started as a financial controller and worked his way up. He loves the business as much as I do, and he's worked with me long enough to know my attitude to most situations, from a club that's suffering from a poor manager to the chance to acquire several acres of land. Nigel knows what decision I would make, and makes it himself. Most of my time in the office is spent with Nigel, talking over the bigger deals and assessing future opportunities, but the day-to-day management is down to him. Sometimes all I have to do is sign the paperwork. At Quality Care Homes, much of the operational activity was handled by my finance director, Chris Rutter, and I consider myself lucky to have found both Chris and Nigel, as it's not easy to run somebody else's company for them. The key is to make sure they're incentivized to do the job as well as you would do it. I structure Nigel's salary so that he gets a very healthy bonus if he meets the growth targets I set him, and he also benefits from share options that will make him a millionaire.